Vivriti presents the Game Changers Summit.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Vivriti Presents the Game Changer Summit in partnership with CNBC TV 18. The Game Changer podcast brings to you the very best from the entrepreneurial world. Stories of innovations, new tech learnings, people making an impact and looking at the overall development of industries. Welcome to this learning summit. May I first invite Vineet Sukumar, MD and CEO of Vivriti Capital and Vivriti Asset Management, to tell us about the Vivriti Summit and introduce us to the experts who will be talking to us on the theme, how to bring scale to SMEs through tech.
Thanks, Mukta, and a warm welcome to our listeners. Vivriti was founded 5 years ago on the premise that mid-market India deserves access to debt capital. We support hundreds of mid-corporates through access to multiple debt products. Vivriti has provided over 11,000 crores of debt to its clients till date. On August 26th, we bring to you the Game Changers Summit, a celebration of entrepreneurship. You will meet people who have changed the face of their domain, be it in business, technology, science, or sports. Our podcast series, as a run-up to this event, powered by CNBC TV 18, delves into specific sectors that are critical to India's growth, resilience, and self-reliance. Today, you will meet two remarkable entrepreneurs who have taken on the mantle to power micro and small enterprises in India through innovation in technology and aggregation. You will meet Deepak Jain, an engineer and MBA with over a decade of experience in consulting, investment banking, and building businesses. Deepak co-founded EpiMoney, also known for its brand FlexiLoans, in 2016. To bring micro enterprises to the forefront by using technology to efficiently underwrite as well as connect with mainstream pools of capital. You will also meet Rishi Vasudev, an engineer and MBA with 2.5 decades of experience in building online and offline brands in the apparel and fashion industry, who started Goat Brand Labs in 2021. Goat Brand Labs acquires and aggregates SMEs that manage direct to consumer brands across the length and breadth of urban and semi-urban India. With this, I will hand it back to Mukta to take the podcast forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sukumar. And may I now welcome to the podcast Rishi Vasudev, co-founder Goat Brand Labs. Rishi, let's talk about the very interesting work that Goat Brand Labs does via your own entrepreneurial journey.
Okay. Yeah, so I have worked many years in large organizations, in corporations, and that was one part of my career, and having done it for over 20 years, I saw an opportunity to work with upcoming brands. The brands who had done the journey of zero to one and were really looking to make it big. And I thought it's a good opportunity for me to learn how they have reached where they have reached, and also to share with them the experience that I've had over 20 years. And together we can create a fresh set of brands which can be the next great brands in the country and in the world.
Well, when we talk about fashion industry in India is a business school study in itself. And there is talent and there is market. What are the growth dynamics do you see, and what really excited you about the space when you started your own entrepreneurial journey?
So fashion as an industry, is very fragmented. So people want to dress differently. There are many niches available there. And therefore, as you look at categories, especially the large categories of women's, kids, fashion jewelry, there is an opportunity for many brands to coexist and grow. However, for many years, distribution was a challenge. And unless a brand had the money or the scale to really open up their own distributions in terms of their own stores or be able to enter one of the large department stores, they did not have a chance. The last few years with e-commerce gaining penetration, and during COVID, really it took it to a new level. I think a lot of brands now have access to customers. So that distribution problem being solved, you see a proliferation of many new brands in the market. A lot of them have come up beautifully from 0 to 10 crores, 20 crores size on their own. And they have built propositions which are very differentiated from the large brands. What we also see that many of these brands have a very loyal following, a very strong repeating customer base, and therefore that's something that is really encouraging for the industry. And I see the opportunity of fashion to open up much more going forward, and that's where the industry is headed.
when we specifically talk about GOAT Brand Labs, what is it that attracts you to a smaller brand? What is it really gets your attention to look into them and to acquire them, to invest in them? What are some of the things that you as an organization notice and then do for them?
We look at you know, how strong a brand is, and some of the metrics for that is that what is the repeat rate of their customers, how often do they buy, because there are many brands which have been built on very high consumer acquisition costs, which means they are almost buying sales, but good brands have low CACs and high repeat rate of customers. We also look at what's the kind of following they have on social media. We look at how passionate the founders are and what clarity do they have in terms of how they want to take the brands forward. We also look at the brands which are selling on their own websites, because it's easier to build your business on marketplaces where there are large traffics, and with a little bit of push, you can build sales, but building sales on your own website is really tough. So brands which have done a fair bit of journey in that direction are brands which we like. And obviously, we look at the unit economics of these brands. So if they are profitable their unit economics are strong, then we believe that the brands can go far. However, if these brands are built on poor unit economics, then it's tough to turn them around, because they might have been built on the wrong pricing or high returns, or some of those might be the issues with the brand. So these are the few things we look at. Obviously, there is an art and a science. We combine both of that in building scorecards and then decide which brands to invest in.
Rishi, when we talk about, in general, about SMEs, we look at a lot of challenges that they might face in spite of a brilliant idea, a great team. How can tech help scale up? What has your experience been while seeing these companies come up?
It's an interesting time in the evolution of the industry that a lot of tech has been created in various parts of the whole shopping funnel. So today, if you want to build a tech around your backend, you know, you have many options in terms of choosing the WMS that you need, the OMS that you could pick from, the CX partner that you could choose from. And these are all built in such a way that they are easily integrated to the platform that you are operating on. And a lot of SMEs have a challenge that they do not have access to a lot of this information. And second is the evaluation and the understanding of a lot of this technology could be a challenge at times. Some of these technologies also work or work better if you have scale. And therefore, SMEs really using up all of these technologies is one of the things that we really do in terms of having large relationship with some of these technology providers and then taking it to all our brands. So currently we have 15 brands in our portfolio. So the technology providers have straight away access to 15 brands in one go. And what we also do is sometimes when there is a choice that we have to make, we can always run one or two brands on one platform or one technology and see how it's responding and therefore take the final decision on which one works better for that brand or that category. So I would say that there's a lot of new technology being built. I am in Bangalore in the HSR area, and in this vicinity, I have at least 8 or 10 very interesting startups which are building technologies which could really help SMEs in improving their performance in the online space.
And what are some of the trends that you're seeing in your line of work that are likely to dominate the times to come? Some trends that you're seeing internationally that you think India will perhaps, or SMEs in India will soon adapt to?
I think in terms of technology trends, you know, India is not very far behind. In fact, a lot of people are building pieces of the whole stack, which they are building for the whole world. So that way, it's quite there. In terms of the SMEs and the way they run business, I think, you know, in India, parts of the processes are still not fully organized, and a lot of them have not been built for scale. For example, some of the women's wear brands have been built around customizing the products that you order. Now, when you start to scale to 2x, 3x, you suddenly run out of enough capacity, or you're not able to offer at scale. So and various parts, like even whether it's warehousing, delivery. In fact, many of these things start to break as you start to scale. And I have also, finance is another challenge that, you know, inventory management is a big challenge where people still use simple Excel-driven ways to decide how much inventory to make, whereas there are far complex tools available to decide what to make, how much to make. And therefore, with the peak sales and spike sales, you really are stuck with a lot of inventory. So when you look at SMEs in the US, I think when they are selling on marketplaces, selling online, they are always trying to optimize between marketing spends and the inventory or the spends or the investment in inventory. Whereas if you look at a lot of the SMEs in India, they are not so organized in terms of having a clear equation in terms of how much money to put in X versus Y. And therefore, a lot of times they could get into trouble if they have very good sales and a lot of returns. So those could really put them back in terms of their progress.
Right. And before I let you go, Goat Brand Labs, what are some of the brands or industries perhaps that you're in? I do see a diversification in portfolio as well. So what are the other things that are exciting you?
Yeah, while we have a large perception of being a fashion player, yes, we are strong in that area. And half of our brands are in the fashion space and doing very well. Some of them are very strong names like True Brown, The Label Life, Ranjipani, Pepe in a fashion. We have the license for that brand. So these are some of our strong brands in the fashion space, but we have a couple of brands in the pets space. We have a couple of brands in the beauty and skincare space, and 4 to 5 brands in the home, kitchen, gardening segment. So we are well diversified. We see that there is much more traction we're getting in the fashion and beauty space, where we are going to double down more, but always on the lookout for great brands on the parameters that I spoke about earlier, and hope to keep building on the family of Goat Brands.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for this wonderful interaction and all the insights, Rishi. I wish you all the very best for your projects.
Yeah, it was wonderful to be here. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Thank you.
And may I now introduce you to our next expert on the podcast, Deepak Jain, co-founder of Flexi Loans. Flexi Loans is an online lending platform with an endeavor to solve the problem that SMEs face in accessing funds for growing their businesses. Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Jain.
Thanks, Mukta, for getting us on the channel.
Take us through your entrepreneurial journey. What was the background to this startup story?
So entrepreneurial journey for me started pretty early in life. You know, I may have done my first loan when I was in class 7. So background-wise, I'm born to a jeweler and a money lender. So I started being part of the family business pretty early, you know, when I was quite young. I did lending not knowing that I'll end up in a career where I'll be doing loans to SMEs and small entrepreneurs in India. Started my career in chairman's office in corporate strategy at JSW Group. Went to ISB, and you know, that was the, so because this show is called The Game Changer Changers. That was the game-changing year for me. I met my 3 other co-founders at ISB, and you know, we started this company post 10 years post ISB. But we all met there, and you know, we were all in different career trajectories. Post ISB, I was in investment banking at Axis Capital. Was fortunate to close almost 35 transactions, IPOs, QIPs, fundraisers of all size and shapes, and a lot of them were in BFSI space, and thus got, you know, super interested in this space at that point in time. I was seeing how most wholesale banks were looking at retail assets and a massive untapped market. A lot of large NBFCs were looking at retail segment, MSME specifically, as a massive untapped opportunity. At the same time, I was looking what OnDex and lending clubs of the world were doing globally, you know, with using technology and AI. So we thought that this was a great time. There is a massive untapped market for MSMEs in the country, which is, you know, not touched by many of these large banks and NBFCs. And we can, you know, a lot of data was getting generated through the Jan Dhan Trinity. So we said that, okay, there's data, there's market. Let's try and create a business model which uses data to underwrite these customers versus going through the traditional modes of doing business. There was a big potential to create a big impact in the next 20 years of our lives. And we decided that, okay, this is it. This is a very huge opportunity and we should do something here. And that's why the FlexiLoan story was born.
When we talk about the SME space, what are the classic challenges that you are seeing today?
Again, you know, MSMEs, when they require large capex fundings, etc., or you know, I'm talking about micro MSMEs specifically, SMEs with turnovers below, say, 20 lakhs per month, when they want to do capex, etc., they still do get formal funding. However, when they need working capital financing, even for that, you know, they had to go to their branches or their chartered accountants and get a detailed list of documents prepared. And to borrow that working capital was anywhere between a 15-day to 100-day process. You know, most of the PSU banks took 100 to 150 days for a sanction. And by then, their working capital requirement is already gone, you know, because there was this opportunity for a season where they planned sales would be X, but the sales of Y much more than X, and they need working capital. So thus, they would always go to traditional friends and families mode or local money lenders for borrowing. And thus, a massive informal segment existed, which is changing significantly over a period of time for this. And with families becoming nuclear and this local community touch slowing down or waning for people, it became extremely difficult for younger generations in business to actually, you know, tap into this market, and thus their dependence on informal, like, you know, informal channels of borrowing like money lenders or loan against gold, etc., increased significantly more. What FlexiLoans and fintechs like us, you know, what we saw this as a great opportunity, because these are all deserving candidates or deserving businesses, and we just had to figure out how to give them a loan. So we decided, we came with a concept, you know, back then and wrote a white paper with few of the industry stalwarts on this of flow-based lending. And we said that, okay, these guys, there's no point of looking at their, you know, financials for 3 years and many other things, versus we should look at their bank statements and the flows they are getting in the bank statements. There were surrogate methods of looking at the flow as well. We decided to create underwriting models basis that and with very, very minimal documents, these MSMEs could apply for loan. We created journeys where, you know, in literally 15 minutes, they could apply for their loans. And in either in the same day or max 24 hours from the application, they'll get a decision. And 24 hours from there, you know, we'll check their KYCs, et cetera, you know, complete the documentation process and disburse the loan. So from a process which was minimum 15 to 20 days to a process which became minimum 24 to 48 hours, was a great wow effect for these entrepreneurs, and we saw our applications grow significantly as more and more people got to know that, you know, they could apply for loans in this manner. We have done and solved problems in multiple sectors till now, and disbursed roughly 2,000 odd crores till date, 2,200 odd crores till date, almost in 1,600 cities and towns pan India. So that there is a massive market opportunity out there to be tapped into and create impact. And that's what we are trying to do.
Talking now about the common thread in the Vivrithi podcast, digital disruption. What fascinates you about the new tech in this space?
So over the last few years, you know, we've seen technology have a massive impact on way MSMEs do businesses. So we've seen that with UPI, right? With digital payments picking up significantly. Almost every nook and corner of the country, you know, the smaller merchants are now accepting UPI payments. And that's the impact this government is bringing about, right? And that's one trend which impacted a lot, like the visibility of QR-based payments and digital modes of payments. What this is also doing is when players like us, you know, we want to lend to these merchants, you know, we can use this data versus requesting for their detailed bank statement. So we can use the data coming from the payment aggregator of this merchant, by this merchant, after this merchant's consent, and decide that, okay, a loan amount up to X can be given to this merchant. So that's a great development. Second is, you know, government is constantly coming with newer and newer ideas like account aggregator. That's another game changer, you know, with EAA, with the customer's consent, you know, you can get access to their multiple bank statements at a click. What that will allow us is, will be, you know, to further fasten the speed of decision making for us, and we can decide whether to give a loan to an MSME or not, you know, basis that very, very quickly. Third trend is, you know, the platforms like ONDC, etc. Again, you will see a lot of MSMEs coming to digital platforms and selling their goods online, etc. And the acceptance of online seller enhanced significantly. I must tell you here that, you know, we were one of amongst the pioneers for ecosystem embedded financing in the country. We were one of the first few lenders to lend to all the online e-commerce ecosystems, you know, to the sellers who were selling on the online ecosystems. And thus, you know, as this MSMEs come online through platforms like ONDC, et cetera, we would be right there, you know, to service them through providing the loan solutions at a click.
Thank you so much for this wonderful chat and all the insights, Mr. Jain.
Thank you.
Well, you were tuned to a very special podcast. Vivriti presents the Game Changers Summit in partnership with CNBC TV 18.
Vivriti presents the Game Changers Summit.